The effect of Huawei of China on the wider stock market. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Now that telephone equipment maker Huawei of China is on the U.S. Commerce Department's list of companies banned because of national security concerns, the reverberations are being felt in a long chain of global companies that supply Huawei, and many of those stocks are dropping this morning. Let's check in with economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, some of this has to be the U.S. official list. Huawei of China now on it, and this is showing up in share prices today.
Absolutely. It's a little bit of a delayed reaction, but definitely the announcement, the inclusion of Huawei, and then it has real consequences for real companies, and the broader backdrop of the escalation in tariffs looks like it's going to stay in place.
It's remarkable the shift in mood from last Thursday, for instance. I mean, anyone paying attention knew the trade war was getting more intense, yet there seems to be a greater realization of that this morning.
Yes, the whole trade negotiation has been a whipsaw for markets. They're used to getting bad news and then the bad news just going away. It's been very erratic, the policy move. So it's been hard for the market to sort of react consistently. But I think that what's culminating here is a very real impact that looks like it's going to last for the foreseeable future.
Not just sentiment, but on actual corporate bottom lines. Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Always good to talk to you.
My pleasure.
There's news this morning. Ford is ending the employment of 7,000 white-collar workers worldwide, 2,400 in North America by the end of August. It's 10% of its salaried workforce. This is designed to save money, and Ford's stock is down 0.4%. In India, the competition is epic to get into elite engineering schools of the sort the Google CEO Sundar Pichai attended. Access is limited for so many of the country's 600 million people who are under 25. My marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, reports from New Delhi.
Getting into college isn't just about getting good grades in India. It's about getting the best grades. To do that, families spend thousands of dollars sending their sons and daughters away from home to towns dedicated to helping students cram for the highest possible exam scores, 95% or higher. The coaching industry here is expected to be worth $26 billion by next year, according to government data. 16-year-old Abhair is simultaneously finishing high school and cramming for a university entrance exam. He wants to work in computer science because it pays high salaries.
I study 13 hours a day. To get into my first choice university, I need to rank in the nation's top 150 students for exam scores. The chances are a fraction of 1%.
In 2014, the last official government statistics showed more than 2,400 young people took their own lives, specifically because of exam failure. So why does a country with such a large population and a growing economy not have enough schools and universities? Anurag Bihar is CEO of the Azim Premji Foundation in Bangalore, which works on public education.
We have to have dramatically higher public investment. We have to reconstruct our teacher education system, because unless you're training your teachers properly, how are you going to have good education?
He says not only is public education good for the economy, it's something a vibrant democracy depends on. In New Delhi, I'm the BBC's Anu Anand for Marketplace.
Hi, I'm Zach, and I listen to Marketplace in Arlington, Virginia. I think what I appreciate the most about Marketplace is their ability to take the economic news of the day, issues such as tariffs, rate hikes, and tax reform, cut through the political noise, and clearly and concisely explain not only how these issues affect our country and the rest of the world, but how they impact people like me. I hope you'll consider joining me as a Marketplace investor and donate today at marketplace.org to help make their work possible.
In 2016, the federal government held a contest. The Transportation Department offered money to American cities to develop smart technology that helps people move more efficiently down the road. WOSU's Adora Namagade reports from Columbus, Ohio, which got $40 million for this.
A free driverless shuttle pulls up to a bus stop in downtown Columbus. Because it's all electric, it's silent, unlike a noisy diesel-powered bus. John Hargrave is an operator. Although he's not driving, he's ready to take over from Maria, as the shuttle is called, in an emergency.
She can operate the whole route herself, make turns, flow through traffic, stop at traffic lights, pull in and out of her stops.
Smart Columbus is a public-private partnership the city formed to drive this effort. Mark Patton is the CEO overseeing the $40 million in federal funds the city received and another $10 million in private donations. His goal is to make autonomous shuttles, electric vehicles, scooters, and bikes part of the daily commute here in Columbus. The first step? Making sure people can charge their vehicles.
You know, who's going to buy an electric vehicle if they don't think they can get it charged?
That's why Smart Columbus plans to install 1,000 electric vehicle charging stations throughout Central Ohio by the time grant money runs out next year. Patton has been helping increase electric vehicle adoption from top down. He set a goal of getting 50 CEOs and other C-suite executives to drive electric vehicles.
I think we're at 46. Got a year to go. I'll crush that goal.
It's not all about CEOs, and electric vehicles are just one part. Chief Innovation Officer Michael Stevens points out the city's population is expected to double in size to more than 2 million people by 2050. So it's important to encourage people to take public transportation.
Not just a single occupant vehicle.
Josh Lapp advocates for affordable transportation for everyone in the city. He appreciates Smart Columbus's goals, but he says,
I want to see how those projects can support the transit system, not how those projects can replace the transit system.
Smart Columbus is creating a playbook so other mid-sized American cities can learn from its experience. In Columbus, I'm Adora Namigadde for Marketplace.
We're also focusing this week on healthy older adults who may have become softer targets to scammers. It's part of this Weill Cornell doctor's research into people who test as cognitively A-OK.
I mean, they've had the million-dollar neurologic workup, and yet they still give away the farm in ways that they would not have when they were younger.
Marketplace.org if you miss it on the air today and all week. Subscribe to the Marketplace APM YouTube channel for some videos we did on what to do. And listen for our one-hour special, Brains and Losses, the bottom line on aging and financial vulnerability, in the coming days on many public radio stations nationwide. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.